going, because I normally have the other one. So if I'm like this and like that, you have to bear with me. Thanks, Jules. Yeah, I'll have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Good to be waited on, isn't it? Well, welcome everybody and our visitors too today. We've got a few of our normal people away, but you're here and this will be good. So let's just commit this time to the Lord and ask his blessing upon it. So Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today to come around your word and to quieten our hearts so that we can receive from the Holy Spirit the things that you want to reveal to us today, that might be things we haven't seen before, experienced before in your word. And we thank you for your wonderful word. And you said it never returns void. It always accomplishes what you please. And we believe for that today. We pray that we will have hearts that receive. We pray we will have eyes that see and ears that hear. And that the word will do the work that needs to be done in each of our hearts. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So my message today is on honour. The Holy Spirit dropped that word into my heart. Sorry? Oh, he's just speaking. I thought someone said I didn't have it up right. Just put your hand up if you can't hear me. So honour. So the Holy Spirit dropped that word into my heart, honour. And so I knew that that was what that was the message I had to bring. But I didn't really know much about it. I'd never heard a message on honour, and I've certainly never given one. So anyway, I diligently, of course, as I'm expected to, pursued knowledge of this subject in the Word, and I studied it out, and lo and behold, there's a whole lot that God has to say about honour. I was surprised at how often it came up in the Word of God. So I believe that this is a timely message for us today. And reminded me of a time when I first was sort of a new Christian, but I was asked to take the local scripture classes at the local school. And because they couldn't get anybody else to do it, so they were stuck with me. But anyway, I did it. I said, yes, I'd do it. And I heard my voice saying that and thought, why did I say that? But anyway, I know now why I did, because it was my training session. And then consequently after that, the different churches that I attended, we used to live in Sydney and for all of our lives really till we came down here, and I went to a couple of different churches over a long period of time, and I taught in the children's church there, and it reminded me of a meeting that we had of the children's church teachers. As you do, you have little meetings and we could discuss things. And anyway, I brought up something that was sort of on my heart, and I felt that the children should be taught to not address us by our Christian names. That, in other words, I should be called Mrs. Hendy and not Sandra. And I explained that the reason I felt this was because I felt that it showed respect. Respect for elders, respect for teachers, and respect, it's another word for honour. Those words are synonymous, really. And so I put forward my case, and I was surprised that not one person supported me in that. In fact, the person who was running the meeting was quite adamant against it and actually said, you cannot expect respect and honour, you must earn it. And so obviously I hadn't earned it, so I was duly reproved, and so I became conformed to this world, joined everybody else, and I've been Sandra ever since, no matter what age the child is. When the person said that, I thought I could kind of, in a way, see their point, but it never sat right with me. It just never sat right. And that was many years ago. And you know how sometimes you put things on the shelf? Do you do that? And sometimes years later, you get the answer. So anyway, then sort of moving on to more recent times, I was at the hairdressers. And of course, you know, the hairdressers is the place you go to get the local news. Everyone comes and tells the hairdresser what's going on in the district, and then she dutifully reports that to her customers. And so I can come home and say to Ross, guess what? And so anyway, I was chatting with the lass who was having her hair done next to me, and she was telling me that her husband was a high school teacher at one of the local high schools. And she was saying how terrible it was for him to attempt to teach the children, and he was thinking of throwing the towel in because he had absolutely no authority over the children. They just absolutely run riot. When I say children, they're teenagers. And I don't know if they called him by his first name, but they certainly called him a lot of names, and they all had four letters in them. And she was saying that it was a very distressing situation, and he was contemplating whether to continue. And, of course, I thought back on my dilemma with the honour thing. And so when the Lord told me to preach this message, I naturally said, well, I sort of never resolved this in my heart. And I thought, I have to work out what I'm going to say because I'm not sure what about all this. I don't feel right about it. And so I said to the Lord, what do you think about it? And he answered me. And Jesus said, did I deserve respect? And I said, yes, Lord. I said, if anyone deserved respect, you did. And he said, did I earn it? And I said, yep, you certainly did. And he said, but did I get it? And I saw it. I saw the answer. I saw the answer. So if Jesus didn't earn it, who are we to say that we are going to earn it? But the point I want to bring today is that we have to give it. We have to give it. Jesus, we know he was despised. He was rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief and suffering. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That says it all. He was not given honour. So, having cleared that up, I feel I could go forward with my message. So, honour in today's society seems almost non-existent. And young people today don't know anything about honour. Just have a little drink. In fact, they're being taught that everybody is equal. It's almost a communistic sort of streak going through teaching that now. And apparently those who achieve anything at school are not given any accolades higher than anybody else. I said to one of my granddaughters, how did you do in the exams? And, well, I don't know, Nana. I said, what do you mean you don't know? And she said, well, I don't know, we're not told. And I said, well, where did you come in the class? Because when we were young, we all knew where we came in the class. And she said, oh, no, we're not told where we come in the class. And she said, you know, everyone's the same. And, of course, when there's the prize giving, they all get first prize. Well, unfortunately, when you come into the real world, we know that we all are not going to get first prize, are we? And everyone is never going to be equal. Even Jesus said, he said, you're always going to have the poor with you. And, you know, some people are given different talents and different abilities. And you can see that all through the Word of God. So children are going to get a rude shock when they get into the real world. So getting back to honour, honour must be given. And I'm standing on that as the principle here. So who do we give honour to? We give honour to the office of the Prime Minister. Now listen to my words, the office of the Prime Minister. The office of the President, be it the United States or wherever. The office of the King and Queen. And I think what's going to help us, because I think we've sort of made a few mistakes, and look, I include myself in this. This message is just as much for me as for anybody else, in that we have to separate the office from the person. So you separate the office of the Prime Minister from the Prime Minister, whoever the Prime Minister is. Because we all have our preferences, don't we? We all have our likes and dislikes. And this is where I think as Christians, we've got to look into the Word and make some adjustments so that we are doing what God wants us to do and we're having the right attitude. Now, if you look at Peter, 1 Peter, he said to honour, he says honour all people. Well, there we are. And I think that is saying that we should have a reasonable amount of respect for everybody. In fact, that should be the way that we, you know, look to all people. We don't look down on people or whatever, but just have respect. And then he says, love the brotherhood, fear God and honour the king. So there was a king at his time. And he lived under Herod's reign. I think it was Herod Antipas. If I'm not right, I'm sure someone will correct me. But anyway, let's just say it was Herod. He was a pretty evil person. And he died during Peter's lifetime. And then who took over after that was Nero, and he was the emperor. And I did a little study on it, and Nero was 16 years old when he took over, and he died at 30. Dare I say, thank goodness. He was known for his sadism and his debauchery. He was one evil person. And when Peter wrote this, honour the king, Nero was that king at the time. And yet he said, hey, honour the king. And later, Peter went to his upside-down crucifixion, as history tells us, under this Nero's rule. But he said, honour the king. So this is an example of separating the position from the person. And, you know, these apostles, as I've studied this and read through, I see what really wonderful Christians they are and how we need to rise up to that standard. And I think we haven't kind of quite realised it, and we've sort of fallen into a few traps here. So I really believe this message is timely today. And then when we read in Romans, now you know Paul wrote this to the church at Rome, he said, pay to all what is due. Pay, notice that word pay. Tax to whom tax is due, customs to whom customs, respect to whom respect, and honour to whom honour. He says, pay honour. And he didn't say to those who deserve it or have earned it, but because of their position or status. Some positions in life have a status to them. Some people have been given that position. Some people have risen to that position. But whatever the thing is, there are positions in life, in society. Connie's going. See, this is, I'm not used to this. This is, Royce, you've got to get this fixed for me next time. I'm not. sorry, guys. Good on you, Con. Now, what was I saying? I can't even remember now. So we're talking about position and status. Yeah. So what is honour? We could say honour is something which is valued and esteemed. When you highly esteem something and value it, it's honour. Now, I want to look at a few different people whom the Bible talks about honouring. And the first one is to honour God. Honour God. So in Samuel it says, "For those who honour me, I will honour, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." It's interesting as we go through these, you know, God is so good, isn't he? So lovely. I mean, fancy him even putting in, "If you honour me, I'll honour you." I mean, he doesn't have to do that. We should be able to honour him, you know, without having him honouring us. But he says, "If you honour me, I will honour you." And the opposite applies too. Those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. And you remember, you know, Jesus had a lot of problem with the Pharisees, and he said of them, "You dishonour me." And they certainly did with the things that they said about him. Now, another way that we honour God is with our finances, and it has a benefit to us too. So let's look at this scripture in Proverbs, and it says, "Honour the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase." So that's, of course, talking about tithes and offerings. First fruits is another word for tithes. You know, that's a tenth of your increase, of the increase that you make. It's your tithes. "So if you do that, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine." So again, there's a benefit for these things. You know, God's no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor. And this gives us an opportunity of faith, because paying your tithes and offerings, it takes faith. It's a faith exercise. But, you know, God wants us to live a life of faith, because he says it's impossible to please him without it. So that's it. So the second group of people that the Bible talks about honouring is honour your parents. Honour your parents. So in Ephesians it says, "Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Again, a benefit for us. Hey, you want to live a long life? People want to live long life, but they don't want to get old. Hey, guess what? But if we want to live out our lives, don't we? And so, you know, sometimes people go, "Oh, well, that person died and why did God let that happen?" But, you know, sometimes there might be other reasons why these things happen. And the Lord's giving us a reason here. If you want to live a long life, you need to honour your father and mother. So obviously he takes that pretty seriously. It's not something we can dismiss. And you might say, "Well, you don't know what my parents have done to me. They've been pretty horrible, terrible people. And they certainly haven't been perfect." Well, of course, none of us have been perfect parents, no matter how good you think you've been. You haven't been perfect, because there's no perfect people. Guess what? So how can we be a perfect parent? So, but the thing is, we have to have that forgiveness and that decision that we will do this because it's in the Word of God. It was right back in Exodus, and then Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "Honour your father and mother." He brought it up again. So it's a pertinent point, and still a pertinent point for us today. And you might say, "Well, my parents are dead now anyway, so it's all over, Red Rover." But, you know, we can still honour our parents in our heart. We can have that forgiveness. Just say, "Lord, I've let these thoughts build up in me. I've had the wrong attitude, but I'm going to change, and I'm going to honour my father and mother, they did the best that they knew to do, because they probably didn't know much either. So, you know, we need to have that conciliatory attitude and do what the Word says. It's all about being obedient to the Word, isn't it? And then number three is to honour your spouse. Well, that's kind of pretty obvious, isn't it? So let's just read this. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them," meaning your wife, "with understanding, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." So again, a little bit of a warning there, that if you want your prayers answered, you have to have the right attitude, don't you, in your marriage, and give honour to that person. Absolutely. They're, you know, the most important person other than God in your life. In Ephesians it says, "Nevertheless, each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So we are to have that attitude towards one another, and the wife too needs to have the same attitude. And, you know, it's just a matter of having courtesy and politeness. I heard someone once say, a Christian lady, "Oh, it didn't matter how you spoke to your husband." And I thought, really? I mean, look, being polite gets you a long way. I say, "Please, Ross, could I have some money for a new outfit?" And he says, "Of course, dear. How much would you like?" I go, "Oh, well," I tell you, it gets you a long way. Be polite. Be polite, honour them, give them all the nice dinners that they like. It's true, isn't it, Dallas? So number four, honour those who are older. Leviticus says, "Stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear your God, I am the Lord." So here's right back in Leviticus. So I think there's been an alarming decline of respect for the elderly. I've even heard people say when an older person preached the church, "Oh, that old man that preached." And I was absolutely appalled. It was just the attitude that came across. Because you're old, you know, you know, you're dead, but you won't lie down. Don't we learn something as we get older? We learn more when we get older, don't we? You know, I was coming down the ramp at Woolies. I think I might have told this before, but, you know, different people here. Anyway, as I was walking down, I could see these two men. There was about a 20-year-old and about a 40-year-old or whatever, coming up, and I knew that if one of us didn't give, we were going to collide. So anyway, I could see they weren't going to give. So anyway, I stopped and I moved to one side, and they waltzed through. They waltzed through, and I couldn't believe it. I kind of laughed to myself, and I thought, how pathetic is all this? You know, so they certainly didn't give any respect for the elderly. Admittedly, they probably didn't realise I was old. So I suppose that's the point. And then on the other hand, they may not have realised that I was a woman, because a lot of people don't know who a woman is these days. So maybe we just excuse them for that. However, that's what happened. Honour your employers. 1 Peter says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." And there are plenty of people who show dishonour to employers. Julian Graham will tell you that. And they've had some incidents, haven't you? And, you know, our daughter runs a human resources business, and she deals with this all the time. And she has to help the employers out of a hole where they're being ripped off by the employees. So we hear about it all the time. And, You know, it's this dishonouring in every capacity. It's just flowing through society altogether. And, you know, I think this also applies... Sorry, Connie, I'm still doing the wrong thing. This also applies to when we do things in the church, and we may not be paid for it, but we're volunteering and giving our services in the ministry of helps. And we should do it with the attitude, though whether we're paid or not, we should do it with that same attitude of reliability. Sometimes I've heard people say, oh, well, I can't say anything to them for not turning up because they're not being paid. Hey, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to have the right attitude with these things. So I believe that verse of scripture applies to that situation as well. So, and then number six is honour church leaders. Now, this is Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. And he says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognise those who labour among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." So I do think this is an area that needs serious work and correction in the life of many believers, because we haven't, maybe people haven't always had the right honour, and I've seen it, for those who are in authority in the church. And of course, I think a lot of times the media is to blame for this. We know of, everybody knows, of things that have happened in the church, and, of course, it's been broadcast, you know, loud, and, of course, the media have got their story, rightly or wrongly, but the thing is, you know, the media don't know these people. They've probably never spoken to a person, and they weren't at the situation, but they've built a story because they've got to have something to report, and it's far better to report something that's a bit juicy, you know. So rightly or wrongly, I think it's something that we need to be careful of, that we need to not make an assessment on these things that we hear, especially through the media. Because I think, you know, that's just wisdom that we do that. Of course, you've got to remember that the Satan is behind this because he wants to destroy the church. And, of course, if you destroy the leaders in the church, then other people fall too. That's the way he does it. That's the easy way. And, of course, he'll always go for high-profile people. But it's not our place. It's not our place to be judge, jury, and finally, executioner. And that's what a lot of people have been. That's what a lot of people have been. You know, it's pretty easy to sit back and criticise too. It's pretty easy to sit back and assess people, even those preaching, you know, to be an armchair critic. You've heard about that, haven't you? Because people who are in the ministry, it isn't an easy job. And unless you've had to do it yourself, you don't realise that. And so we need to have the right attitude towards people who are in the ministry. And we're going to see where we are to give them double honour, and to honour and respect them. And I think that's an area that we really need to think very seriously about. Paul says to the church at Rome, he says, "Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." In our modern-day vernacular, we could say, well, who do you think you are judging? Who do you think you are? And that's exactly it. Who do you think you are? Because people who are called to preach the gospel, we're called by God. So God is our leader. He's the one who's going to say yay or nay, give us the big tick or the big cross, and it's not for everybody else to get on the bandwagon and have their opinion as to how well that person is doing in their job. And, you know, I think if we're really honest, if we pray for people, it's very hard then to criticise them, isn't it? If we're praying for them, no matter what you think about them, you know, we have to realise that God has put them there and God is able to make them stand, and, you know, God is the one responsible. In verse 10 it says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother?" Well, that's even a bit harsher, isn't it? "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Just remember that one. Hey, judgment day is coming, isn't it? So that's something we need to think about when we're judging. And in Matthew, and this is Jesus' words, he says, "To judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So if you're going to judge with a harsh judgment and a harsh measure, that's exactly the way it will be measured back to you, because we reap what we sow in this life, don't we? However, so saying, it's okay to judge what a person says. In fact, we should. We should judge the word. You need to judge the word that I'm speaking today. You need to check it out, find the scriptures. And that doesn't mean just get your favourite scripture and hold up. It means two or three scriptures, you know, and check these things out. And that's okay. But it's not okay to judge the person. It's not okay to judge them and judge their personality. Well, I don't like a personality, and I don't like the way she does her hair, and I don't like her clothes, and I don't like the way she's sitting on a chair and she should be standing up and walking around or whatever. And people have done that. They've judged the person's personality. I don't like the way he shouts. I don't like the way he does things. That's judging the person. We need to judge the fruit of their ministry. And in Psalms 105 says, "Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." Just a little scripture, but quite a pertinent one, isn't it? Do not touch. So get your hands off. Get your hands off. Stop being judge. Stop being jury. And certainly stop being executioner, because Christians have done that and we've been guilty of it. So in 1 Timothy, this is Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour." Whoa, double honour, eh? "Especially those who labour in the word and doctrine." So here we see that the elders and those who preach the gospel are worthy of double honour. And I thought to myself, gee, I wonder what double honour is. I wasn't too sure about honour, but here's double honour. And, you know, a pastor is an elder. And we can also include apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. They're all elders. And then we have lay people who have been made elders in the church, and we have leaders. So these people are worthy of double honour according to the word of God. Now, one of the things I want to say is, you know, before Julie was made our pastor, we've known Julie for many years. We've got a small community here, and of course, Julie has been ministering and helping in the church many years before she was made pastor. And we've all been her friend, because she's friendly and she's popular. And we love her, and we do. But when she has her pastor's cap on, and she's got it on today, it's got PJ on the front there, Pastor Julie, we cannot let that friendship, that familiarity take over when she is in her pastor role. In other words, we must give honour and respect to the position of the pastor. Julie Brown is our pastor. the same as any other pastor. And we have to give her that esteem, and it's her job, given by God, to correct us. Oh, did I say that word correct? Correct us. It's her job to admonish us, if needs be, or whatever has to be done. And just because we're her BFF, best friend forever, does not mean that we do not come under that authority. And I think that's something that we need to know, because, as I say, we're a little church, a little community, and you know what I'm saying is true. But Julie Brown is our pastor, and we need to give her that respect and honour. We're not here to tell her how to run the church. She is here with the anointing that God has put upon her. He's called her, and he is able to make her stand, and he's able to make her able to do this. And she has accepted that calling. And so all this is very important, because we haven't ever sort of talked about it before. So talking about double honour, I thought, well, I think most people would be happy just with single honour. But double honour, actually, when I studied it out, refers to the abundance of respect and obedience from members of the church, but also refers to finances. And the word double in Timothy means twofold. And the term for honour in the Greek actually comes from the word honorarium. You've heard about an honorarium, which includes the notion of a price or compensation. And for a payment for unbilled professional services. So watch out, because at the end of this message, I'll be handing out my invoice, and don't go out the door until you've paid your money. Oh, look at him. Robert's gone. I frightened him. Just a joke. But, yes, so in Corinthians, Paul says, even so has the Lord ordained, so this is the Lord's idea, that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So it wasn't the pastor's idea, wasn't the preacher's idea, but this is God's idea, that that's the way it works. There's other scriptures too. It says the labourer is worthy of his hire. It says don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. It says if we preach spiritual things, it's nothing that we should reap carnal things, meaning money, you know, money is carnal things. So, you know, this is God's rules. This is the way God has laid it out. So what about ungodly authority? So let's have a look at Acts. It says, then Paul, this is Paul, he was arrested at this time. And, you know, Paul was a great orator, and he was pleading his own case, wasn't he, as he did all the time. He looked earnestly at the council and said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Can you imagine that? The high priest did that. Strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, he didn't hold back, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Something about Paul, he knew the law, didn't he? He knew what was going on. He knew the Roman laws, and he knew the laws of the land, and that's why we have to be interested in what's going on in our land, and we have to know the laws too. Because ignorance of the law, as we know, is no excuse. So we're not going to be ignorant. We're not going to have our head in the ground, think we're too spiritual to have anything to do with what's going on in the politics of the land. We need to be wise about this. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So Paul knew the law. And, you know, on another occasion, he saved himself from being scourged. He was just about being tied up. And he said to the Roman soldier, is it lawful to scourge someone who was a Roman and uncondemned? And the soldier went, whoop, you a Roman? And he went, yep. And so he was released from that situation because he knew the law. So going back to the rest of this scripture here, it says, and those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Now listen to what Paul said. Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. So see how Paul backpedaled. He backpedaled. As soon as he knew, I mean, he probably wouldn't have thought, well, surely, you know, the high priest wouldn't be saying something like this. But when he found out it was the high priest, he completely backpedaled and he apologized because he still had respect and honor, even though this man was doing the wrong thing. So I think, you know, these are the Christians that we have to follow, Paul and Peter. We're going to find David as well. You know, we need to follow these people because they're setting the example for us, showing us how to handle things. So we have another example now in 1 Samuel, and this is the story back with David and Saul. You know, he had a few problems with Saul, didn't he? You all know the story, do you? So then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with a spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. He's going to make a good job of it. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he'll go out to battle and perish. In other words, we're not going to do it. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let's go. Okay, another example. Another example of not taking things into his own hands, but we hand them over to the Lord. So if people in authority, leaders and that, not doing the right thing and that, you know, we need to commit it to the Lord and we need to pray. We need to pray for these people. So David chose to honour the position over the person because he knew that by doing so he was showing honour to God and respect of God's word and the way God says to do things. Paul says in one scripture, he says, follow me as I follow the Lord. So, you know, he was pretty confident to say that, wasn't he? And I think we can do that. We can follow him. So we have to be a Christian, not just in name only, but in word and in deed. And, you know, God's very particular about these things. That's why he's written them in his word. And, you know, James tells us to not just be idle hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. You know, we've got a lot of hearers of the word, a whole lot of hearers. We don't have a great lot of doers, but the blessing is in the doing, isn't it? So I pray, friends, that this message today will just go into your heart and you can ponder on it. And if we have to make adjustments, as I said, this message is for me as much as for anybody. We just make those adjustments and go forward, knowing that we're in the right place with God. And God's going to bless us then, isn't he? Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.